Oh, wait, Chad, I'm not ready. Don't start.
Too late, David. We started already.
What?
What?
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD to our bracket rundown show.
Go ahead and start it whenever you're ready, Chad.
I am your host, Chad Sherwood. Making all that noise over there is David Griggs. Also joining me on my other side is Matt Zukowski. Down below, John Titel, Joby Fortson, John Stalica. Full panel here this evening, as we are going to be doing our bracket rundown show, which is where we are going to be building a seed list, a 1 through 68 seed list, live on tape delay, on the air, right here. Let's start with by defining what we're doing here. And David, since you want to talk so much, let me just throw it over to you. And what is a seed list, really, for people that may not know? If they know what a bracket is, what's a seed list?
Yeah, a seed list is essentially, after they select the 68 teams, they rank them 1 through 68. Simple as that. That's what we're doing. Now, some of the things that's different about this show as opposed to what most people do, we are not trying to guess the actual selection committee on this show or with this bracket. Most bracketologists are... We are not. We have someone that does try and guess the actual selection committee, and he's better at it than just about anyone on the planet, and he's with us tonight. But that's not what this is. This is what we think it should look like if we were the committee.
Right. And actually, when we're done tonight, don't look there yet, but down below us on the website, you'll be able to see the final bracket that we'll put together off air after we complete this 1 through 68 seed list, where we're going to be both selecting the teams and ranking them kind of at the same time.
Right.
And we're going to use the same format we used last week, which is each of one of you is going to give me a four teams, give me a seed line. I have a power for one veto per line. And so the rest of you, once the four teams are announced, will be able to sit here and we'll debate them back and forth and try to convince me where I should use my veto, if at all.
Yeah. I did have a question, Chad.
Okay.
Okay. Throughout these shows, I hear these terms and these words, and I'm not pretty all that certain what they mean. Like protected seed, first ballot team, inside the bubble, on the bubble, and outside the bubble. What the hell does that mean?
An initial ballot or a first ballot team are teams that the committee puts in basically before they start meeting. It can be up to 36 teams, generally probably close to 30 or 31 teams. We think we lost Matt there for a moment.
Yeah.
He didn't like my
long
answer.
Long pipe there, Matt. Right.
Yeah. Okay, Matt.
Long toke there. Matt is ready to go. All
right. Well, this is Groundhog Day.
I'm already choking over the 8 and 9 lines.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this is Groundhog Day, so we're going to repeat this as often as necessary until we get it right.
Right.
The other quick terms, though, quickly. Protected seeds are considered the top four seed lines, the top 16 teams, and bubbles are the teams that are really right there under consideration on maybe in, maybe out. Outside the bubble, you're a little bit on the wrong side. Inside, you're on the right side for now. Right. I think that covers most of your terms, David. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and pull up on the screen here the board so we can take a quick look at it. And David, cut it out. What are you doing? What the hell did you do?
What the hell? Oh, okay. These are
David,
the board.
This
is the board. This is the board. We're off to a great start. I went ahead. And the thing is, you can only veto one of them. All right. So we are off to.
David, I'm sorry. I'm exercising 8 vetoes right here. They're all gone.
What are you doing? You can't just delete every single team that we've already put in.
They're gone. All right. Now that we got that cleared up, let's get.
What was Tim Miles' RPI? I didn't see.
It's in the 60s, I think. John T., let me start with you. And why don't you go ahead and tell me who the top four teams are right now?
Sure. We like undefeated teams, so let's get the Zags in there. We like defending champs, so let's get Villanova in there. We like teams that can beat Kentucky and Baylor back-to-back, so let's get the Jayhawks in there. As far as the fourth, I think it's a toss-up. I don't think there's a clear-cut number four. I would go with Baylor despite the loss because it was on the road and close. The early stat of the night I love is that Bill Self has fewer losses at Fog than Scott Drew does. Like, it's impossible, but he does.
That's amazing. It really is. That's how good Kansas has been for so long. And just real quickly, you can see that as I put teams in, you can see their RPI, their KenPom rating, their current strength of schedule. And Joby, your nitty-gritty rating as well, we've got that on the screen this week. Can you tell us quickly what that is for those that may not know what it is?
Yeah, it's basically it's similar to the KPI in this regard, in that it actually does try to guess the committee a little bit from a mathematical point of view. It's been pretty accurate. Formulas can't bring in a pure accuracy of the eye test, which even obvious eye test components, so it can miss on some. But it's a great tool to be able to say, oh, this team is really high. Maybe I should be looking at them in their resume more. Likewise, if it's very low, then right. You maybe start to question. It's basically takes into what the committee had said in so many words and so many ways. Who'd you beat? Who'd you play? Who'd you beat? Where'd you play them? And it takes all those sort of components into account, as well as a slight recency stat as well, and other little things like conference play record and overall record as well.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say real quick, Joby, I concur. I think that you need to be looking at Gonzaga, Villanova, Kansas, and Baylor, all four of these teams, when you're looking at the NCAA tournament.
And I might add, this is from Tuesday night. It was actually before the Kansas-Baylor game. The latest version actually has Kansas number one, Villanova still two, and Baylor three.
Okay, so these are about a day and a half late. So we do have a magic to switch to other ratings too, if somebody wants to see them. I've got a neat little magical tool up there. So, but we'll leave them up for now. But Joby, while I got you, what do you think of Tytel's ratings right now? These top four teams?
They're very solid. I had probably the exact same fight that he did internally on that 4-5. I actually went with John's home. I went with John's team, Arizona, for that. I'm assuming that's who John was debating with Baylor. I can't fight the Baylor, but I do like the fact he says perfectly, I like undefeated teams. Well, I like undefeated teams in conference, especially a Power 5 conference. Arizona, we're all on the Trier bandwagon. Oh, they're a new team, they're an improved team. Well, so far so good, and we're going to find out this weekend against Oregon if they deserve that number one seed or if they're a two seed. I think that's plain and simple.
And David, what do you think about these four teams, and maybe does Arizona, you think, belong up there above with that line? Here is that Arizona profile with a lot of wins on it.
Not quite. I had the same four teams. The order a little different, but the same four. And, again, you look at Villanova and their wins at Creighton, at a full-strength Creighton team, and at Purdue. You look at Kansas with some of their road wins, and then the two out of the three huge wins. You look at Gonzaga, who's beaten Arizona on a neutral floor. Now, I know Arizona wasn't quite at full strength, but with Gonzaga being undefeated, I just can't get Arizona that high. And I love this Baylor team. They have wins over Louisville. They were outstanding the other night. I don't think you dinged them at all for the Kansas loss. If anything, maybe you even moved them up a little bit. I don't think Arizona is in the same class with these four. I didn't struggle with it at all. In fact, if anything, there's another team that I think is even closer than Arizona than the one line.
Well, Matt, here's that Baylor profile. You see, they are number one in the RPI despite losing the game. Maybe they even went up in the RPI by losing at Kansas, the number two team in the RPI. But Matt, what do you think about the one line? Are you okay with it? Do you want to lobby me to make a change?
No, it's exactly the 1-4 I had it, and actually in the exact order. And I think Baylor, by just showing well at Kansas, every team this year is going to pick up a couple losses, but to show well in one of your toughest games after the West Virginia blowout, I was pretty impressed with Baylor, and so I'm good keeping them on the one line.
All right, Salika, last chance to try to talk me into making a change here.
No, I agree with these four teams, even if I don't necessarily agree with the order here. But I guess given how they're laid out, it's not going to make too much of a difference here.
Well, Tytel, your picks went over pretty good there, so I think we're going to leave it alone. Only Joby mentioned Arizona. And Joby, I'm actually going to turn to you for the two line.
Let's go with Arizona, as mentioned. Then I'm going to take little chances, three ACC teams. Starting with Florida State, Virginia, North Carolina.
Florida State, Virginia, and North Carolina.
You know where the debate will come in. I'm more than happy to talk about it.
All right. Well, Tytel, let me start with you. We haven't. Why don't you tell us what you like or don't like about Joby's two picks?
I like Arizona. I hope the rest of the committee does as well. I like the Tar Heels, and I think that you could even argue the Tar Heels, even with some recent shaky performances, I think that they're in contention for a one seed because the ACC is so strong and they're going to pick up more and more wins. As much as I want to have Kentucky up here, I think that they're just trending down, so I can keep them off this line. I do like the state of Kentucky, though, so I kind of want to put in a Louisville team over a Florida State team that's been very roller coastery, especially because any Louisville problems this month or the past few weeks are due to an injury of point guard Quentin Snyder. I think all four have a legit role here. If I had to do a veto, I would veto Florida State out and Louisville in and leave the other three as they are.
All right, and that's let me pull up this Louisville profile. And Sleek, let me turn over to you here to comment on it as well. Louisville, do you agree with Tytel that they belong in here over this Florida State team?
I have them a little bit out of the two line. I have them right in the middle of my three line. I mean, I would agree with three out of the four teams that were laid out as far as number twos go in Arizona, Virginia, and North Carolina. I mean, I have Florida State just a bit outside of that line, but I would still go with Kentucky as my fourth number two.
Wow. I mean,
oh, David, you wanna reply here?
Well, I mean, yeah, I have Virginia and Arizona. I agree with those full-heartedly. I really like this Virginia team. And Florida State, I have them as my fourth number two. And as the other team on the two line, how about the team that beat Kentucky? Like, I have Louisville up here. I like them a lot more than Kentucky right now. Kentucky's lost at Tennessee. Louisville doesn't have a loss like that. I think Louisville's wins are better than Kentucky's wins, and one of them, albeit at home, happened to be against Kentucky.
Here's this Louisville profile on the screen right now. David, no top 50 road wins. That might be the one of the few dings on them there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when compared to the other three teams on this line, it certainly is. But when compared to Kentucky or North Carolina, like, where are their big road wins?
I mean, if we're talking about Kentucky, I mean, it's not a true road win, but they still beat North Carolina in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And I know that the debate will be in this Kentucky, Louisville, Florida State, and that was exactly what I was expecting. Why I have Florida State even ahead of Virginia and North Carolina is if you look at the entire field,
I agree with Florida State.
But the highest, the most teams that someone has beaten against the field are teams Kansas, Baylor, and Butler, by the way. Yeah. Has a couple of bad losses to drag them down. Seven teams against what we did against the field last week. Oh, and Florida State has 10. 10. 10 yeah. Wins.
Joby, I'm with you on Florida State.
You know, you can debate some of them, whether Clemson's in or not, you know, et cetera, but it's amazing. You can debate Miami, for instance, but it's when you the depth of those wins. Oh, and by the way, they happen to be against protected seeds as well, you know, at Virginia. Louisville, the aforementioned Louisville, I might add. Duke and Notre Dame are in the discussion for it. To use Arizona as a guide, Arizona to go through this schedule will have that Florida State will eventually do will not just play UCLA and Oregon a combined three times. They will have to play Oregon three times and UCLA four times to equal the top end of the schedule the Seminoles do. And the Seminoles are still playing the Virginia Techs and the Clemsons and the Miamis who are in the discussion for the field overall.
Yeah, Chad, pull up North Carolina. I mean, because I agree with Joby on Florida State. Carolina is the team I would vote off.
All right, let me pull up North Carolina here. Give it half a second to load. Here's North Carolina, and
yeah.
What you've got here is win at Clemson, win at Wake Forest, neutral court wins of Oklahoma State and Wisconsin, home court win over Florida State.
Yeah, at home.
And the three road losses, but when you look at a team like Florida State here, you've got those three, almost the exact same three losses.
Yeah, but did you just hear what Joby had said?
Yeah.
Yeah, about all of Florida State's wins.
All of Florida State's. Well, Matt, I haven't heard from you on this line yet. And do you want to, are you on this let's pull Florida State off and replace them with a Kentucky or a Louisville bandwagon, or do you think Florida State still belongs on the two line?
I like Louisville and Kentucky on the two line myself, along with Virginia and Arizona. It's a weird thing. I just don't think Florida State's a two-seed quality team. Even with those wins, those couple of losses they had a week ago really digged them and like knocked them down in my mind some. And I think the ghosts of Leonard Hamilton past are starting to creep in for me. Now, I know they just picked up a big win at Miami convincingly, but I'm still not quite sure they're one of the top eight teams in the country.
Tytel, you were on the bandwagon of pulling Florida State off of this line here. Do you want to respond to this argument that look at all these great wins?
Yes, I would say look at the Syracuse loss, which obviously is trending in good win territory. Arizona does not have the wins to compete with Florida State to win. So if it was solely that, you'll be wins 100%. However, when your only losses are to a one-seed Gonzaga and a good team in Butler, arguably a great team in Butler, I think that makes up for losses to, say, my good friend Fran Dunphy and Temple.
This is actually a really tough call here for me, quite honestly, and I'm going to elect only to very minorly execute a veto. And what I mean by that is I'm just going to move Virginia and North Carolina each up a line and put Florida State as our final number two.
Oh, my God. It was a very easy call, and you still got it wrong.
I think I got exactly what you wanted, David, didn't I? Didn't you have Florida State in that same spot?
Yes, but I had Louisville ahead of North Carolina needs to move down with their no wins.
Well, they're not moving down.
Get it wrong. That's getting it wrong.
Okay. We did mention Kentucky and Louisville. And, David, I don't like to do it, but I'm going to let you take the next line anyhow.
Okay. Well, I certainly have those two. And I got to bring out here I know that they've had better days and better weeks, but the top of Butler's profile, I just can't stop gawking at it. So I have them way up here. And I also have West Virginia, who the one thing that, at least by three-line standards, that doesn't have me completely sold on them is they just aren't as good in true road games as I think everybody else that we've already put in. But West Virginia is still pretty damn good overall. So those are the four that I have on this line. And no reason to veto. Let's move on. These are puppet mandates.
Okay, well, then let's just discuss it. Matt, what are your thoughts on David's teams here? Louisville, Kentucky, Butler, West Virginia.
He's got three good ones and then one that's about two lines too high right now. And then, like, I know Butler's profile is really good, but as a team, I'm not sure they're a protected seed right now. The team I actually have here, if we're going away from profile a little bit, I really like those Wisconsin Badgers. And, you know, as a Marquette person, it pains me to say it, but I just think they're a really good team. And I had them as my final three seed.
Well, it's funny, Matt, because if we look here, Butler, in like the Joby's nitty gritty and the RPI is a top 10 team, but 25 in the KenPoms. Wisconsin is the better KenPom team. In fact, let me pull up like a Sagarin rating here instead of Joby's nitty gritty. Again, you see Butler 20s, Wisconsin in the 10s. I think that shows you're more of one of the guys that's a fan of these predictive ratings like KenPom and Sagarin, correct?
Yes, and I mean, I've watched both teams play multiple times and just I know the eye test on that, but like if you told me you lined up Wisconsin and Butler on a neutral court right now, give me Wisconsin by 2 to 3 possessions.
Well, we've lined Arizona and Butler up. We've lined Butler and all. Well, of course, we've also lined Butler and Indiana State up, to be fair.
All right. Well, I'm getting those profiles and loading here for a second. Just trying to wait for the computer to load them. But, Sleeka, let me get your thoughts on where you are for David's picks on this line.
I agree on the two Kentucky schools in West Virginia, although I would have flipped Butler out and put Creighton in instead because the Blue Jays seem to have righted the ship in quite a big way over the past two games with wins against DePaul and a very crucial win at Hinkle against Butler. So that actually gives Creighton the season sweep over Butler now.
And that's going to be another interesting debate here is this Creighton team, I think. Joby, first of all, I got those two profiles up here that Wisconsin only two top 50 wins, but a lot in the top 100 and nothing bad down there at the bottom. Butler, on the other hand, has all those top 50 wins, but some bad stuff down at the bottom. Joby, you with us?
Did we lose Joby?
Did he forget to hit his mute button?
Joby! We got to unmute you. There you go.
Oh, boy. I'm one of those who likes good wins over no bad losses as a category. I mean, Wisconsin is definitely – you'll see them on my next – in agreement on the next line. But Butler, like I mentioned before, when I hinted on the Florida State line of the 10 teams, Butler has 7. And that's tied with Kansas and Baylor. Yes, they're not at that Kansas-Baylor 1 seed precisely because of games like Indiana State. But – 3 lines seems right. I'm with David on this one.
Tytel, what do you think? Are you on? Do you agree with Butler being here on the 3 line, or do you want to make a case also for a Wisconsin or even a Creighton?
While cases can be made for both of those, especially as Creighton has beaten Wisconsin once and Butler twice, I just kind of am forward thinking, and I don't see Creighton going on a run without their point guard to win like 25 games this season. As of today, I think a good argument can be made. As much as I want to put the Ducks in here, I assume, John S., there's some little known rule that if you lose to Colorado this year, you cannot be on the 3 line, correct?
At least for a week or so.
David, I'd like to get your response on this, especially on this Creighton team that Salika brought up here. They did get a huge win without Mo Watson at Butler, the team that you want here. But you know, how much are you ready to just say, okay, this is the same team they were before Watson was out?
Well, not quite the same, because I had them, I think, a lot higher than the 4 line, but they are on my 4 line. I do like them. But again, they did hit the skids. I mean, they had those two bad games prior, but how can you say you can't just dismiss everything they did before they lost Watson, when they've managed the wins that they have without him, most notably the win at Butler, and then, well, yeah, most notably that one.
Well, I am going to – I hate to do this, but I'm going to agree with David. I'm not going to exercise any vetoes on this line either. I haven't used a veto yet. Matt, let me go to you for the 4 line.
All right, so I got Wisconsin out. I was trying to get them out of the 3 line. Then I have the two Pac-12 schools, UCLA and Oregon. And I have a certain school that I know is not going to be loved, but I have the Blue Devils as my final 4 seed.
So you do not have Creighton on this slide, despite the win over Butler?
No, I don't think they're a protected seed quality team. Oh, I mean, wow. I don't really think Butler is at this point either, but.
Why are you such a Big East hater, Matt? Such an anti-Big East person.
The worlds have really turned here, but it's one, their level of play I don't think is quite as high as even their profile might indicate. Now, in Creighton's case, without Mo Watson, I'd be arguing for him at this point, but I still think without Watson, it's not a protected team quality.
Despite the fact that they beat Butler on the road without Mo Watson.
Which Villanova did not.
Which Villanova could not do. Thank you, David.
Yeah. Which Georgetown also just did. And while Georgetown's creeping up, they're still not quite near my field yet. So,
right. Stalika, what are your responses to Matt's teams here? Other than the fact that I know you want Creighton in there. Any responses on which team would you pull off?
I mean, I would pull off UCLA right now, because outside of Kentucky, they really don't have any other signature win that I can point to right now. But I think another team that David thinks has a bloated record, at what point can we say Maryland does look like a protected seed right now? 19-2, 8-1 in the Big Ten. They are still a perfect 9-0 away from home. I mean, I look at some of their wins, like at Michigan, at Minnesota, versus Kansas State. And again, they're piling up lots of road wins in the Big Ten, like Ohio State, Iowa, and Illinois, and even the win at Georgetown looking a little more significant by the day.
Yeah, David, on our podcast Monday night, you told us that, Maryland would go to Ohio State and find a way to pull out a last-second win by a couple of points. Unbelievably correct.
Yes, and I expect nothing less this weekend. There'll be a mad call, a missed call. Like, the other team will mistake Maryland's basket for their own, and they'll somehow pull out a win this weekend as well. I don't have Maryland quite this high. I agree with three out of the four teams, and the one that I don't have up here is Wisconsin. I have them at the top of my five line rather than the top of the four. I just don't see how you cannot have Creighton up here. I mean, their paper is good, and yes, they lost a key player, but they've won two key games without him. I just don't think you can dismiss everything they did with him when they've managed to win key games without him.
But, David, didn't Wisconsin win at Creighton while Creighton had Mo Watson?
No.
Oh, they lost the game. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Then good. That's why you were right. I can't read this. I can't read my screens. Tytel, what are your thoughts here? Do you think Creighton or Maryland should bump one of these teams? And if so, who?
I don't. I think that Creighton is just a shade below. Again, because we're dealing with the shades of gray, I would not lose sleep if they're in and Duke's down, despite Duke's win over Notre Dame. I love both Pac-12 schools, even if they're not doing great. I mean, a loss to Colorado, as John S. knows, is a horrible loss this year. My concern about putting Maryland anywhere near the four line is my question to any of you. How many games this year has Maryland won against Nebraska, Wisconsin, or Purdue?
Zero.
Zero is correct.
Yes.
Maryland is not on the four line, therefore.
Joby, I haven't heard from you yet on this line. Your thoughts on these teams?
I'm actually on, because they're leading the Big Ten as of right now, and they haven't lost. They're beating teams left and right. Maryland's there for me. UCLA and Duke are just off for me. The other team that I put in, and I debated Creighton a lot. The Georgetown loss may be over affecting me. I'll be the first one to admit. Because it was an awful performance, and I expect more of that to come.
That's me too.
Not pure eye test thing. I apologize, but there you go. The team that hasn't been mentioned is going to make Mr. Stalica a little angry, maybe Mr. Griggs. Cincinnati Bearcats.
Oh. Joby, did you see them play last night?
Oh, boy.
Ugly.
Ugly. They were down 10 with like 3 minutes left at Tulsa. It was bad. I mean,
they won the game.
Here's the profile.
Taking care of business whenever they play.
But Joby, here's the profile. Where's the big time win? At Iowa State, their only win against a team that's solid in the field, I guess, is SMU and Xavier at home.
Great game. Well, no, Xavier's in the field.
Yeah, I said SMU and Xavier, those two.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah,
the paper's
team,
weak.
I actually, and this may be, yeah, I really like the way they play. They go out, they grit out wins.
And I should
all. Since they're in the same category in that, they're both leading their conferences, gritting out wins, not losing, and they're taking on all comers.
Maryland
back on Cincinnati's resume, and that was in, you know, that was in early or mid-November. So
Maryland and Cincinnati both have great records, but there is so much more upside for Maryland if they are indeed as good as their record would suggest.
Cincinnati has less room for error because of that, John, but both teams don't have a ton of room for error. Let's not kid ourselves. They got to continue to win. But if they continue to win, and as they have done to date, leading their conferences, I really like.
David, you have a comment on
regular season conference is a big deal to me. That's a big deal.
On the court,
unbalanced schedules, it's a big deal.
On the court, I like them. But it's just one of those teams. I don't like them quite as much as the other teams we're talking about, and their paper certainly isn't there. I mean, I think that teams that we have not even brought up yet, like Notre Dame and Purdue and Florida, I think that they would beat Cincinnati. Keep in mind, like, there isn't a whole lot of
Bastoria continues to hit brick, lay bricks like the best quarterman in the 1920s New York.
I mean, I don't have them on this line. I don't have them on the next one either.
Well, Matt, when you first gave me this line, Matt, was this your line or was it Sleep?
Yeah, this is mine.
When you first gave me this line, I was ready to veto UCLA down, but I just haven't heard those arguments against them. And I'm going to stick with your line. I'm not exercising any vetoes here. Oh. I'm going to leave it. I think I was ready to be convinced that Crane belongs up here, but I wasn't quite convinced that far. But Salika, this one will be your line. So go ahead, and you can put that Creighton and Cincinnati in, because I know you love putting Cincinnati in the field.
Well, I'm going to put Creighton, Maryland, and Cincinnati as my first three. Mm-hmm. And then as far as the fourth one, I'm actually going to go with Joby's Bricklayers, and that'll be Notre Dame as my fifth number five.
And there's Notre Dame getting in, a team that was towing the two or even the one line or close to it a few weeks ago, kind of hit a bit of a wall here. Let me go through for comments. Tycho, let me start with you, your comments on these four teams here now at the five line.
I like the Creighton, Maryland, and Cincy picks. I don't love the Notre Dame pick only because they've been a very, I think, iffy team the past few weeks. I kind of want to put – I can't put an SEC – if I have to put an SEC team in here somewhere, I think I want to get the Gators around here. But, yeah, again, a coin flip because the Gators' best win all year is like Seton Hall maybe or Miami. I mean, it's pretty thin. So I like three of the four. I would put in an SEC team over Notre Dame, but wouldn't lose sleep about it.
Don't make me pull up a screen share and put Angry Frank on there.
You mentioned Florida's team. You mentioned Joby. Your thoughts on do you want to campaign for one of these SEC teams over?
I am with John. South Carolina, because they beat Florida. Okay. They beat Florida. South Carolina would be the team I'd put on here, but Notre Dame's right there too, because Notre Dame does the total body of work. Notre Dame has some good stuff. But as I hinted, they are not playing well right now. They are trending in the wrong direction.
Right. Four out of five losses, yep.
Yeah, they're going to have to right the ship. But if they right the ship, they have some good will to bank on. But, yes, if you say who would you put here, I'm with John T. on one of the SEC teams. Just I would choose South Carolina.
And here's a South Carolina profile also with the win over Florida and a lot of top 100 wins.
And remember, some of those top 100 wins, like, we're going to seriously be talking, for instance, about Michigan being in this tournament. You know, it's not – I think they're higher than 62, so to speak.
I am significantly higher than 62.
Matt, are you with the idea of pulling Notre Dame for one of these SEC teams?
Yeah, actually, and I would say Florida because I know they lost to South Carolina, but that was at South Carolina. I think it was like a three-point loss, so – if you tell me that's not a neutral quarter in Gainesville, I think Florida wins. So I would prefer Florida there, and I do. I actually had Florida as my Final Four seed. So,
What is Florida that's so great that's better than South Carolina, who has wins at Tennessee and over Florida?
I like it. A couple of nice neutral court wins, you said, over Seton Hall in Miami, who I don't – the Hall actually had just knocked down my field, but I do now have Miami in it. And the Hall isn't out by too much. Okay.
And they did win in Arkansas as well.
Who I have comfortably in my field.
David, we're not going to debate Arkansas yet. I know you want to, but let me get your reactions to Salika's line here. And are you on this South Carolina or Florida over Notre Dame kick also?
No, not over Notre Dame. If I was going to pull someone off, it would be Cincinnati. And I know this is very out of character, but I had them lower, but just throughout the course of the show, I think I've been convinced that they belong right here. I wouldn't change anything.
You wouldn't change anything?
Well, no, I would move Creighton up. You screwed that up. But
that's not for debate at this line here.
Right.
I just look at this Notre Dame profile, and I know they've lost four out of five, and that's a reason to drop them down. But on the other hand, Louisville at Va Tech, Northwestern, the win at Miami even – I think that's better than what either of these SEC schools have done. So I am going to, once again, not exercise a veto and let these four teams stand. So you guys have not been giving me much work to do so far tonight.
Except change the order on one seed line.
Tytel, let me go back to you, move on to the sixth line. And I know you like one or two SEC schools here, but why don't you give me your four teams?
Let's put both the SEC schools in, Florida and South Carolina. I think we got to get a Big Ten team here. And had Northwestern beaten Purdue last night, I would say Northwestern. After watching them get destroyed, I think I'm going to have Purdue be the Big Ten team on the sixth line. As far as the fourth, if Stalica really wants Xavier, let's do Xavier. If not, let's do St. Mary's.
So which one do you want to go with?
I'll defer to my fellow John.
Stalica, what do you want?
If you're going to defer to me today,
yeah, Joe, we're getting feedback from you.
Yeah,
okay.
All right, yeah.
I mean, today, I consider St. Mary's a number six at the moment. Wow. I think Xavier is on the right track, but they're still going to need a little bit more meat, Sumner or no Sumner, to continue to climb a little bit, because they did hold serve against Seton Hall, which is their first win against a likely tournament team, depending on how teams like Clemson and Wake Forest get treated later on.
By two at home. Against a team that may not even make the field.
I mean, if you look at what St. Mary's has done, I mean, they won at Dayton, they beat Nevada, and they still have a win at Stanford in their back pocket as well.
Yeah, so, well, so Stalica, would you be good with this sixth line as Tytel proposed now with your addition?
I would.
Okay.
No.
David, you really want to comment on this. So, Matt, what are your thoughts on it?
What? Just go to Matt's going to make the right call. I can feel it.
Yes, and I think we have it exactly as it should be. This is where.
Oh, my God.
I like St. Mary's. This is my final six, and we've now gotten to where, not quite in the order I had it, but I had these 24 teams as my top six lines. And where I would jigger it, it's not a huge deal. So I think I like St. Mary's on the six line above, say, an SMU or Northwestern.
Joby, you want to make it almost unanimous?
Matt, you stole my thunder. I had the exact same 24 teams, almost in the exact same order on this six line. You know I have South Carolina ahead of Florida, but besides that, I mean, and it was South Carolina, then Florida, then I had Purdue, then I had St. Mary's. I mean, this is why, I mean, hopefully we're all getting really good, you know, like John T. at picking the field. But, yeah,
all right, well,
we're in agreement here.
We're flying along here, unless, well, David, you want to ruin the party.
I do. I would yank St. Mary's off and put a team up there that has done more and won some pretty good road games in conference. I'd have Northwestern all the way up here. I know they didn't look good at all last night, but they still have, like, the win at Nebraska, the win at Penn State, the win at Ohio State. Those aren't probably tournament teams, but they're hard to – it's hard to go on the road. Well, where are St. Mary's wins? Like, what have they done?
Okay. At Dayton's better than any of those. I mean, Northwestern.
Well, Northwestern Dayton also beat Dayton.
Out of neutral. That was basically a home game because it was in Chicago.
There was – well, yeah, I mean, 80% of the crowd was for Dayton.
They're St. Mary's with only the two losses. At Gonzaga is one of them. The other one is the upset home loss to Arlington, which was bad.
And that's a total of 7-1 away from home.
And here's, David, here's your Northwestern team that you think is better, despite both the resume and the predictive metrics both saying St. Mary's is a better team.
Well, I mean, they're wrong.
And here's their wins, which are, you know, they won at Penn State. That's
– well, look, I mean, they won at Nebraska, won at Ohio State. Those aren't easy games to win.
Beat an Indiana team that was down a couple of players.
Yeah, they beat an Indiana team whose coach is about to be fired again and again and again and again. David, I'm not making any vetoes here.
Oh my.
You're being overruled. Northwestern is under consideration there along with Xavier. They've been mentioned. So, Joby, let me go to you for our seven line.
Yeah, I actually do have Northwestern on this line as much as I – had the hit on David. But Northwestern, Xavier, Virginia Tech, going to the ACC. And this is where we start getting a little dicey. I decided to go with Southern Cal.
USC, who's starting to bounce back a bit after
South Carolina's, we already have them in the field at the sixth line.
David, let me let you react first to this line here. I know you've got Northwestern there. Correct.
Northwestern is a line too low, but okay. I actually agree with Virginia Tech and South Carolina. Someone is going to have to explain Xavier.
How about Southern California, too?
What?
South Carolina. Yeah,
I hate all of you. Okay, I have Southern Cal, Virginia Tech, and Northwestern on this line. I have Xavier, not just not on this line, but not on the next one either. You're going to have to explain them to me. Their best win was Seton Hall, who's a fringe bubble team at best, and they barely beat them. Xavier has really not done anything. I have SMU up here. It would be my other team. Well, and Xavier doesn't even Clemson. Look that good.
Clemson's a good win. Neutral court Clemson win's good.
Is it seven line good?
Well, I only have Clemson one line lower myself, so.
You have Clemson this far in the field?
I have him on the 8 line.
Let's stick with the 7 line before we move to the 8 line, guys. Yeah. Okay. And Tytel, I'd like you to respond, if you can, respond to David and tell us why Xavier belongs up here, because I know you kind of were in favor of them, maybe even a line higher, possibly.
So as John has mentioned, like when your best win is Seton Hall, that is all the reason you need to have a question mark next to your name. As far as the losses, when you're losing to top seeds like Baylor and Villanova and Butler, like no problem with that, and Cincinnati, the Colorado loss, another inexplicable one, but stuff happens.
And Creighton.
Touché. I mean, you see like all the losses are on the road for the most part. As far as the 7 line, if we can go back to it, I think that Northwestern's solid and USC is solid. If you like ACC because they're doing great this year and you like wins over Duke, then Virginia Tech's a great pick, even though they've had a little trouble in January and the other night against Virginia. I kind of want to get a non-powered school in here, and it ain't Dayton just yet, so I kind of want to get SMU. Granted, when your best win is like TCU, that's a cause for concern, but not a lot of terrible losses. So, I mean, besides Boise State, so I can live with Virginia Tech. I might throw in SMU instead of them.
All right. But David, you'd rather have SMU who beat TCU than, and that's all they've done, than Xavier who beat Seton Hall and that's all they've done, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make certain that your argument made no sense. Stalika.
It makes perfect sense. They don't.
Stalika, what are your thoughts on this line as Joby proposed it?
Well, the funny thing is I would probably agree with the puppet in terms of Northwestern, Virginia Tech, Southern Cal, and SMU being on the 7 line, but I would have had Xavier as my first state. I wouldn't have had him a line lower like the puppet, because when we get to that point, how can he argue that other teams have accomplished more than Xavier has despite some tough luck losses? But here's where I can be convinced, as we mentioned earlier, as far as Xavier over SMU. If SMU's best win is against TCU, which is also a bubble team, other than that, their other significant wins are Pittsburgh, Memphis, Temple, who's fading, Houston, and Central Florida on the road.
Oh, they did win at East Carolina. Come on. They beat Delaware State.
We're not comparing them to St. John's here.
Hey, watch out. Those Johnnies are hot. Matt, are you okay with this 4 line as Joby proposed it?
Yeah, this is, like, I would have SMU here over Vitek, but it's not like I had Vitek as my top 8 seed, so it's not a huge crime if this is the – I think those are – like the 5 teams we've been discussing are the 5 we're discussing for these 4 spots. I mean, it's – I think we're right on the mark there.
I would have had to convince with a lot better profile than Xavier's to make that Xavier veto, so I'm not going to do it. David, I'm going to turn to you for the 8 line, though.
Okay.
And I know you like SMU here.
Yes. So SMU's here. and again, it's we have Michigan State is a team that I like, and Indiana, I know they're kind of schizophrenic, so I have them up here. And then my other team is a team that is practically 16-6 on the year and 8-1 in conference. And I'm surprised they haven't come out yet. Their profile may not show it because I mean, of some bad luck and bad management, but you got to get Nebraska in the field right now.
All right. Tytel, I'm going to let you put the final team in. I'm just going to veto it. I'm not even going to type it in. Okay.
Well, again, they've lost so many close games, and all because of bad calls. Like, you can't just deny. Really, they should be even higher.
And David's been muted. Okay. Tytel, can you give me a fourth team to go with SMU, Michigan State, and Indiana?
We're starting to get to nose-holding territory. I like teams that can have big wins, and when you beat Creighton and Villanova, that goes a long way in my book. Let's get Marquette in there.
I thought that was a team we were kind of missing, actually, at this point. But, Matt, let me get your reactions to these. Well, Tytel, let me stick with you for a second. Are you okay with SMU, Michigan State, Indiana as the other three here?
I'm certainly okay with SMU and Marquette. The other Big Ten schools, I think a case can be made that even though Minnesota was swept by the Spartans, the win over Purdue and the fact that they've lost to amazing schools like Maryland and Florida State, et cetera, gives them a pretty nice profile. Indiana, man, I watched that game against Michigan, and it was ugly. I mean, I would almost rather see like a Dayton up here.
So you would go with a Minnesota team that has lost five in a row over a team like an Indiana team that has lost probably about the same.
Well put.
So take a triple overtime to beat Penn State equals a loss.
Pretty much. I mean, yeah, they have not lost five in a row like Minnesota has, but again, you'd rather have Minnesota who's lost five in a row than this Indiana team.
I guess, but it's not a great argument, so either one.
All right. Matt, what are your thoughts on the line as it was proposed and whether Minnesota maybe belongs in here instead of one of these teams?
I am not high at all on the Gophers. A team I mentioned that I know might get me laughed out of the room, but Matt, like, I've had some hard luck but still have a couple of good wins is the Clemson Tigers. That's
Wow.
This is I'm at the point of, okay, all you teams have proven something bad. But, like, Clemson, they have the nice wins over – well, I guess that Wilmington wins losing a little bit of steam. They won at South Carolina. And then, in man, all those ACC close losses. I got to think – I'm a little bit counting on them to get on the other part of that in the second half of the conference slate, but this is where
– So you want a team that has a six-game losing streak.
And they – they're now on a one-game winning streak.
Two games, actually, yeah.
Two games, yeah.
Joby, I think we're all agree that – I think the big agreement that I've seen heard so far is that all these teams stink. But
and John T. hinted at the team I slide in that hasn't been mentioned yet. I actually have Dayton here, and the reason why is they're at least leading their conference. They haven't beaten Jack Diddley Squat, but at least they're winning a bad conference. That's my argument. I'm sticking to it. Over Indiana. Indiana, thank you for mentioning the Michigan game. That is the reality of what Indiana is doing at this point in time. I don't see them. They should not be wearing white, for God's sake. Or even playing in 8-9. I mean, oh. Yeah, I'm not on the Indiana bandwagon here.
Salik, I think you're the only one whose thoughts I haven't gotten on this line yet.
I mean, I would obviously agree with SMU, but strangely enough, I would believe with Indiana right here because even though they are an aide would be wearing white, they're probably going to lose in the first round anyway. I still think Minnesota has accomplished enough for now that they could still remain an eight compared to other teams that we'll be discussing soon. Because wins at Purdue, and they're also the only team that won at Northwestern so far this year, so that's going to carry some weight. And since I don't know if the puppet has been muted or not, I'm going to go with Arkansas right here as my fourth number eight.
Can't go with Arkansas!
David, for some reason I unmuted you. I don't know why. I guess I had a momentary slip up there. But David, do you want to respond to all these people that want to bump Indiana off and replace them with Dayton, Arkansas, Minnesota, Clemson?
Well, again, I guess I'm kind of hypnotized by the top of their profile. I realize you can't only look at that, but we're not talking about the two or the three line, which is what those wins would indicate. We're talking about the bottom of the eight line. The one team that I would have up here, again, since you won't let me put Nebraska, I'm fine with Marquette, but what about Middle Tennessee? I really like them. I actually had them one spot ahead of Marquette. And this is a team that's won a lot of road games and that's blowing through their league.
They're blowing through their league, but David, that league happens to be Conference USA filled right. with teams like Florida Atlantic, UTEP, and Texas San Antonio. They do have the win over Vanderbilt. They beat a Wilmington team that now that with Wilmington having lost again this evening, it looks even worse. They really don't have a win over a team that's a solid at-large potential caliber team and two very bad home losses.
On a neutral court, take it for what it's worth because it is a supposition. I think they beat both Dayton and Arkansas.
Chad, now you know why Xavier fans like to call it Conference DOA.
Yeah. I'm going to exercise my first veto of the evening here. I'm going to pull Indiana out.
You can't,
Joby, I'm going to go your way. I'm going to go with
– You can't veto Nebraska and Indiana.
Well, that's a double veto then, which I'm allowed to do SGU. Indiana, it does remain under consideration. I'm going to go with that Dayton pick, Joby, just because I like the argument of a team that is leading its conference, and I don't like the argument of Middle Tennessee at this point. It's probably a couple lines too high for it.
I love how he picks and chooses his own arguments.
Dayton has a better profile than Middle Tennessee, David. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they just have the misfortune of not having as good of a team as Middle Tennessee.
If you look at it, Sagarin says Dayton's 37 and Middle Tennessee's 59.
He's 22 spots incorrect.
Hey, let's see what the nitty gritty ratings have.
I should also point out that Dayton is tied for first in the Atlantic 10. They are not an outright leader, especially considering the team they just lost to, and that's going to be VCU.
Yeah, who, Middle Tennessee had a much closer chance of beating than Dayton did.
Right. By the way, there's the nitty-gritty ratings. Dayton's still better than Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, and David, you should be still happy.
Matt, let me go to you for the nine. Let's take a look at the nine line here. Try to keep things moving along. We got a couple more lines to get through here still. Matt, you're...
Well, I have Indiana here. I mentioned Clemson. I actually like David's middle. And, oh, God, we have to go there, but I have Iowa State.
Okay, so you took Indiana, Clemson, Middle Tennessee. You still didn't go with Arkansas or Minnesota, but you went Iowa State instead.
Yeah, I have Iowa State just slightly ahead of Arkansas, but they are both in that range.
David, I'll give you the first shot at responding here. I don't know why I'm doing it.
I'm really holding my nose. I don't get the Clemson pick. The six-game losing streak, I just don't see – I think they're barely in my field, but just barely. But then again, the next team I would have in here is Illinois State instead.
Okay. Tytel, you want to set these guys straight on where we should be really looking at?
I would love to. So I like Indiana and Iowa State on the nine line. I can live with Clemson, but I would argue that if you look at a profile like a VCU, obviously it's not a lot of top heavy wins, but I think there's a lot of like top 100 wins against mid-major kind of schools and not a lot of atrocious losses. Fordham except, of course, because Fordham. I don't like Middle Tennessee this high based purely on the fact that they don't really have a lot of top 50 wins. They have a top 50 loss at VCU by 3 points, which is respectable. But when you lose at home to Tennessee State by double digits and at home to Georgia State by 8 points, you cannot be on the nine line, in my humble opinion.
Joby, you want to respond?
I actually like middle, and I'm going to back Matt's play on Clemson.
Okay.
In middle for the reason of Dayton, but I John T's arguments are still sound. I'm going to throw out two teams that have not been mentioned, and you're going to not like, probably. I'm not in the Indiana camp because I don't like what they are right now. I can't figure them out right now. If you just could look at what they did very early in the season, they'd be well above this line. So right. I don't like what I see right now. I like the team that beat them by 30 last week more than them. That's one of my teams, Michigan.
I actually have them in this range, Joby, so that's not a bad call out.
And that's three – Michigan wins against three teams in our field if Indiana makes it. gives it. And then – all right, Matt, you're going to really hate this next one.
I can see where you're going, yeah.
A team that has 5 wins against the field. Awful power ratings for KenPom, but great non-others. It's Georgia Tech, Josh Pastner time.
Georgia Tech, who finally did lose a game over the week.
Yeah, I know they lost to Clemson, and that's why Clemson's on this line.
We start by looking at these power ratings here. Joby, you got them at 27. The KenPom has been at 74. Even the RPI has them low. Go back to those Sagarins again, 79. But then you look at like something like a KPI, 41. So looking down here in the top bottom corner. Let me pull that Georgia Tech profile.
Illinois State's better than all these teams, except middle.
Have I gotten your thoughts on this line yet? I think you're
going to say, if we're going with teams that have 6-game losing streaks, at least get Clemson out and put Oklahoma State in, because I'll take their top 3 wins of Wichita State, Texas Tech on the road, and also Arkansas at home, and even other wins against Georgetown, TCU, and Oklahoma that also look respectable by comparison.
I will say that Michigan and Oklahoma State are the other 2 teams ahead in this range, so those are the 2 call-outs I would not mind, and if one of those vetoed it. I mean, hell, at this point, we're grabbing straws anyway, so.
Yeah, Tata, let me jump back to you here. What about like a team like a Michigan or a Georgia Tech or an Oklahoma State here instead of Middle Tennessee?
I'm still not convinced because I don't think we have Minnesota on the field yet. I'm not convinced that Michigan is better than Minnesota. Looking at all the numbers that we have down there in all the different categories besides KenPom. As much as I have disliked Georgia Tech for the majority of the season, I really like that pick by Joby, partly because I love Josh Pastner as a fellow Wildcat. When you look at their top 3 wins, North Carolina, Florida State, Notre Dame, I mean, that's better than Arizona's top 3 wins, who we're talking about as a possible 1 seed. I understand they've lost to a gazillion teams, both in the as God forbid, Ohio, but 3 quality wins that I think earn them, if not a white jersey, at least a very off-white grayish jersey.
I'm convinced. I'm exercising my veto here over Middle Tennessee with Georgia Tech.
Why Middle? Not Clemson.
Not Clemson.
Oh, my goodness.
Not Clemson. And Sleek, I'm going to give you the 10 line here.
Chad, you're butchering this field. Yeah, I need to take over.
I ran out of room under consideration. We did mention Oklahoma State as well. So we have 7 teams we've been
discussing. That's where they belong, right there.
I mean, honestly, if we're going with my top 4 teams that are still remaining, this is where I would add Minnesota and Arkansas that haven't been mentioned yet. And then I'm also going to go ahead and throw the puppet a bone and say Middle Tennessee and Illinois State should probably be in the field by now.
All right. So you did take 4 teams that are under consideration here, Minnesota, Illinois State, Arkansas, and Middle Tennessee. Matt, let me start with you to comment on those teams.
Yeah, I don't mind 3 of them. As much as I wouldn't want to dog my mom's alma mater, I think it's still a little high for Illinois State. Like, at least Middle, besides the Wilmington, would soundly be 2 SEC teams. Illinois State didn't beat a team with a pulse on a conference. And so to have them this strongly in the at-large, like, I would have someone like Michigan ahead of Illinois State.
Yeah, and Joby, you're looking at this Illinois State profile right now, and other than being undefeated in the Missouri Valley Conference, which is not what the Valley has been recent years, which was never that great to begin with, is there justification for them to actually be up this high?
No, I don't think they're even in at-large territory. They're looking beyond that. This is where you've already heard my Michigan argument. I would stick Michigan, Illinois State. I like the other three, though.
Okay.
One thing Illinois State has is an abundance of road wins. And I know they're not great, but it's not like they're just a home court hero. But, okay.
Okay, so David, are you okay with Sleeka's line then?
Minnesota, Arkansas, Middle Tennessee. Yeah.
Okay. Tytel, your thoughts on the line?
I like Minnesota and Arkansas.
Okay.
David, go ahead.
I'm sorry. The one team I would switch, and I know that they haven't come out yet, but I think they're on a roll. I think they're better on paper, and I think they're better on the court. I would have Tennessee ahead of Arkansas.
Okay.
You have to pop it.
We'll pull them up.
I'll pull the Tennessee profile here. It takes a second for it to load. But they do have the win over Kentucky. They have a road win at Vanderbilt, and they really don't have the bad on the profile.
They also have a home loss to Arkansas. Not just if it was a road loss, you've heard my Florida, South Carolina. I'm fine if we were to jump a team that lost a close road game, but that was a close home game. I like Tennessee in the field, and this is about where they're in my range, but I can't have them out of Arkansas at this point.
I hate to admit that I'm forecasting a little bit. I realize that I think by the end of the year, Tennessee is going to look a lot better than what they do now. I mean, they are just playing really well, and they smoked Auburn last night at Auburn. And, again, if they're not there yet, they're going to be by the end. They're really playing well.
Well, Tycho, let me give you a chance to make your comments in here now.
As I was saying, I like the Minnesota and Arkansas picks for this spot. I don't like Middle Tennessee. I like Middle Tennessee and Illinois State to make the field, and so I'm not going to go crazy that they're 10, but I would veto them and put in some others. As we check out the strength of schedule column for the top 38 teams that are in so far, zero of them are double-digit strength of schedule. What is the common factor for 39 and 40? A triple-digit strength of schedule. So I want to get somebody with a tougher schedule because, frankly, the committee likes teams that have played tough teams. So as far as the under consideration list, I like VCU here. And if you can throw Kansas State under consideration just so we can see their numbers real quick, please.
Sure.
Yeah. Even though they beat West Virginia and Oklahoma State, which is why I want to put them in there, I could live with the Cowboys sneaking in here at the 10th spot.
But you don't like Michigan still, though, then.
I like them, and I wouldn't lose sleep about them, but if you look at the numbers compared to Oklahoma State, I think the Cowboys have a little bit of an edge.
All right.
Joe, in every category.
Yeah, Sleeka, I am going to exercise a veto. Illinois State's the team that I'm going to veto here.
You're going to leave Arkansas up
here. I'm going to leave Arkansas up here.
Man, those wins against Houston.
It's Michigan Wolverines that are going to get that spot at this point. It's almost a coin, toss a coin between them, Oklahoma State, VCU at this point. These are all very similar profiles. I'm not high on Kansas State. Or at an ad by Tytel when he saw their numbers didn't help them. But, John T., let me go back to here for the 11 line. We are getting very close to the final four spots. We may even hit one or two of them with this line. But why don't you go ahead and give me the four, and then we'll take the last couple one at a time.
For the 11 line, I want to get Oklahoma State in there. I want to get VCU in there. While holding my nose, I guess we'll throw in – I don't like Tennessee this high. It was a great win over Kentucky and an amazing strength of schedule. I just think that one of the reasons the strength of schedule is so high is that it was tough and they didn't win a lot of those games. So I'd rather see an Oklahoma State. As far as the fourth, man, we're
– They beat Virginia Tech. They beat Kansas State.
Was your third Tennessee there? I'm sorry.
It was not. I would say Oklahoma State, VCU. I would say – man, I'm running out of teams, aren't I?
Yeah,
I would say – let's do Kansas State just because, and then for the fourth, because we're really reaching, let's do Miami because they beat Carolina.
And that was one team that nobody's mentioned recently that I thought might get into this field, so I'm not surprised that we went there.
I'm glad you people are seeing the light finally.
Stalica, you had Miami in your field last week before they beat Carolina, who happens to be here on a two line. So let me get your response here. I know you love Miami. You think they should be a three seed, but go ahead and give me your let me know if you agree with his picks here.
I mean, if it were independent of myself, I probably would have had Miami as my first 11 here. But besides the Illinois State team that I had already mentioned, other teams I would have also had in right about this area would have been Seton Hall and Wichita State.
Seton Hall and Wichita State. These are two teams we have not yet discussed. Matt, your thoughts on especially a team like Wichita State that has those high power rating numbers?
Man, it's weird. I have actually excommunicated from the field just because TCU is impressive whenever Kansas State got their spot for me. So we haven't mentioned TCU, so I'm going to throw them under consideration. I don't have them in yet. I would actually have Tennessee in over K-State. But I believe, didn't Tennessee just win at K-State, I thought, this past weekend?
They did. And
David, well, yeah, go ahead. It's a you agree.
Well, here's – I mean, let's put – I mean, let's put Miami in because of their win over North Carolina. Well, let's put Tennessee because of their win over Kentucky. And they also have, like, a win against Kansas State. They have a win against Georgia Tech, albeit at home. And then they won at Auburn. They're 4-3 on the road. And they had the win at East Tennessee State, which, again, by this point in the field, is a pretty decent true road win. And their losses, most of them aren't too terrible. I like this Tennessee team, and I like the way they're playing. I think that they're really going to thunder down the stretch here.
Joby, you want to add thoughts on this debate here?
I'm with Matt and David 100% here. I think Tennessee should be at the top of this line. To be now that Michigan's in, the top team I'll be rooting pushing is the Tennessee for the exact reasons David gave and the reasons Matt gave. They played two quote unquote elimination games against bubble teams, won both of them. Sorry, K-State played two, lost both of them. That's why K-State's the one I would say gets out. But Tennessee being the victors in one of those two.
I'm going to agree. I'm going to exercise the veto there, Tytel. Knock out your Kansas State team, put this Tennessee team in.
You can veto. Feel free to veto Miami too.
I am not going to veto Miami. I'm okay with that. Do we want to discuss them a little bit more though here? David, why don't you tell me why you don't think Miami belongs in the field? Because there's only two at-large spots left after this.
Let's see. I like Kansas State and Oklahoma State and VCU better than Miami. I know that they had the big win.
Other than Kansas State, the other two's already in there.
Oh. Well, I'm not looking at the I've got so much stuff up on my screen. Okay. But
this is a family show, puppet.
Oh, okay. Well, they're not as good as Illinois State, but other than that, I don't know. I just think that the win over over North Carolina does carry a lot of weight, but does it carry enough considering there's nothing else really there to put them in?
I'm going to leave the 11 line as it is. We got two spots left. Let's take them one at a time here. Joby, let me go to you here. Who would be the first of these last two teams that we're going to stick in this field?
I just mentioned them. They won the play-in game versus K-State recently. It's TCU. Jamie Dixon, I love the stat that was thrown out earlier behind the scenes that now TCU has more road wins with Jamie Dixon than they did in the entire previous history of the Big 12 existence.
And after TCU, Joby, let's say it this way, Joby. Why don't you tell me who your other team would be also, and I'll hear from each of you on these last two spots.
It's tough. I'm going to go with Seton Hall.
Okay, you're leading Seton Hall for this other pick. David, would you go TCU and Seton Hall, or would you go somewhere else?
No, I'm actually liking Georgetown more than Seton Hall right now.
Wow. Georgetown, a team we have not mentioned in this show at all. Tytel, TCU, Georgetown, Seton Hall.
I like Georgetown better than both of them, actually.
Or somewhere else entirely.
Jesus, was Oregon State unavailable? Georgetown, come on.
Well, no, but okay, they did beat Oregon. They've beaten Creighton. They won at Butler. And they have a few losses. I mean, you know.
We don't have time to go over all their losses because there's so many of them. They've had a great week. I just don't think it's enough. And the Oregon win, Dylan Brooks played like 13 minutes and it was neutral and it was like 5 years ago now, it seems like. I don't like it.
I think in the new incarnation of the Big East, if you're scheduled to play in the first round of the Big East tournament, you're automatically disqualified from contention.
Okay. Well, if not Georgetown, who other than TCU? I mean,
Georgetown.
You and Seton Hall.
So, Salika, who would you be your last team in here?
I probably would go with Seton Hall based on some of their wins against South Carolina, Marquette, at Iowa, and California. I mean, I know it's a bit of a reach, but we're gonna have smelly diapers no matter what at this point.
Matt, I want to get your thoughts on these last couple teams.
I like TCU, and this is where I would have Kansas State just in my field, but I'd have them in my field. And these are exactly my last two, were TCU and Kansas State, and this is scary. I have the field otherwise, so I think that means we're not doing such a hot job, but no.
Well, there's kind of a consensus here, or close to a consensus, at least a majority that are liking TCU, but let me throw one other team out here that nobody mentioned for a last spot. What about the Cal Bears? I know they're struggling. They're in a close game right now at home with Utah, but if they pull out this win tonight, as we record this, Tytel, you're being a Pac-12 guy. Don't you think they need a little consideration here considering the garbage that we're looking at?
Only a little. As you can see, they're literally 1 point away from having zero top 50 wins. I understand they've had a very tough schedule, so they should get a lot of credit for the strength of schedule. That San Diego State win continues to look worse and worse every week. The fact is that, like, they had a lot of expectations coming into the season with Ivan Rabb as a preseason first-team All-American, and wins over Princeton are just not going to get you into the field, in my humble opinion.
Joby, TCU and Seton Hall then, or do you want to campaign?
Those were my two.
Okay.
I will say on the Georgetown call, Georgetown was my third team out, and I will hint the team that Georgetown beat on the road in upstate New York was my fourth team out.
Buffalo?
Oh, Syracuse. Matt, you like Syracuse for this field?
Look at what it did. The system gave you an error message when you tried to type in Syracuse.
I will defend my guy, Job, here. Syracuse was my last team out. I had TCU and K-State, and then Syracuse was my last team out.
All right. We apparently love teams that lose to Boston College, St. John, and UConn this year. This is pathetic.
Did Syracuse self-impose another ban? I mean, is that why you were getting an error message for the orange?
It might be.
Lee Delvecchio would love that trio, by the way. I mean, what a trio for Lee Delvecchio.
We have gone ahead. We have our field here. It's Seton Hall is our last at-large bid. I will go ahead and actually fill out the 12 line here with Illinois State as your Missouri Valley Conference champion, if I can spell their name right.
Which
I probably can't. UNC Wilmington, who has now fallen below the bubble as their Colonial champion. Also throw in there Valparaiso, your Horizon champion, and Akron, your Mid-American Conference champion, to finish out the 12 line.
But I like those teams.
I'm going to go through each of you here. Any other teams that we haven't mentioned, not even under consideration, that you think are least worthy of slight short discussions? And Matt, let me start with you.
They haven't done a whole lot, and they have a middling record in a non-power league, but I'm still keeping an eye on Rhode Island. They have the win over Cincinnati, and I think they finish the year strong. And as we can discuss, there is spots in this field that are able to be claimed.
Salika.
I actually would have had California if I were doing my own field at this point in time, but since we had already voted in Clemson and Georgia Tech, that's not going to be possible at this point in time. But Wichita State is really the other team that I would have had in the field. And they'll get their chance against Illinois State this weekend in the second leg of that rivalry.
Joby?
This is my field, so I don't have an argument. The team I would say, I mean, The team I'm glad that got shot down, get your guns up, Texas Tech. We probably do need to at least discuss when the time comes. I mean, their in-conference record's just awful.
Yes.
But the but they do have some nice wins. If they finish at the end of the year with some strong wins, they can play their way back into the field because they were in our fields, prior fields of ours. So they've had an awful couple of weeks. But, yeah, when losing those bubble games, they need to win.
Yeah, the only win of note was TCU back on January 18th, and that's the only win of note since early January. So it's
But that West Virginia win is still nice, nice, nice.
That's all they got. Tytel.
For you D.C. basketball area basketball fans, who is the only team this year to beat Maryland and Virginia?
Pittsburgh.
Oh, no. No.
They're 1-8 in the ACC. Like, they're not getting
Virginia on that one.
They beat Maryland and Virginia and Marquette. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
Scored almost 100 against the pack line. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
We didn't hear any mention tonight either of a couple other ACC teams, NC State and Wake Forest, that are also within that same striking distance, I think.
Oh, my God.
David, anyone else you want to mention, though?
Mention as far as – I know they're outside the bubble, but I think that they're both on it, is Utah, who's currently playing Cal. If they get this win, it still probably doesn't get them all the way in, but, God, it helps a lot. And without it, they could still make it if they really thunder down the stretch. But with it, I think you have to at least look at them, especially when you consider how much you hold your nose with some of these teams. I get the feeling I'll save that for the final thought.
I'll throw one other team out there that is very, very outside, but has a shot to make a run still. And that's the Crimson Tide. It's just a team that I took a look at today that I was surprised. It's not there yet. It's by far, far, far away from being there. But again, it's missing that really, real too much that bad. That's bad. Valpo lost, not that bad. And they got their chances. Kentucky at home, at South Carolina, at Tennessee. They may have to win out to do it. But this team is another team that I'm just kind of half keeping a look at just because they've been winning some games recently. Would have been a lot better had they picked up the win in Arkansas, so they got their butts kicked. But
I'm going to need a screen share because they're missing one other crucial ingredient.
No, John Slica, we're not giving you the screen share. I'm denying you.
Veto!
I have vetoed your screen share, absolutely. What we're going to do is take those extra teams off of there. That is our field through the 12 line. We're going to go ahead and add in the 13 through the 16 seeds and get them bracketed up, and those will be down below. But I'm going to go ahead and pull that down for now and run through each of you for any final thoughts. And, Joby, let me start with you.
Well, I'm looking at the field. Like I said, it's the field that I submitted, at least as far as inclusion. But the interesting component is, I'll go back to the ratings, nitty-gritty ratings only disagree with me on – and us on one team. They say it says Kansas State should be the last team in, Seton Hall a little ways, about six spots out. But I'm like, wow, this bubble is actually small compared to what it normally is. It's a mess, but it's actually small at the present time. Usually we legitimately are talking about 10 to 15 teams and able to make straight-faced arguments versus the last couple of teams in. This year, the line seems to be moved up, and the team I put forth, Texas Tech, I don't think should be in the field. I was just doing is, hey, watch out for.
Well, and that's kind of what I mentioned, team like Alabama. When you go eight or nine spots out of the field, that's what you're starting to look at now. So I agree with you that I think the bubble is smaller, it's starting to shrink. John T., your thoughts.
So you can make a good argument that Kansas is one of, if not the best teams in the nation this year. That being said, before you pencil them in to win it all in a couple months, check out the last 30 days of off-court problems they've had. Udoka Azubuike, wrist surgery in early January. Last week, Carlton Bragg suspended indefinitely for possession of drug paraphernalia. Earlier today, Josh Jackson and LeGerald Vick labeled persons of interest in a car vandalism case. I know Bill Self is a Hall of Fame caliber coach, but what on earth is going on with the Jayhawks?
Salika.
I'm going for a visual throwback Thursday and overriding Chad's veto here. I mean, if we're going to consider Alabama, we have to consider one of their legends right here.
All right. I'll give you that for a couple seconds here. But then let's get that down. And Matt, let me go to any final thoughts from you.
Man, like the way this year is going in that, I think the ACC might just break the Big East record of 11 because I somehow wouldn't be stunned if they ran 12 into this field because they're of the teams not in. We mentioned I think we had 11 in two more, Wake and NC State, not that far out. So one of those makes a run to get in. There's your 12 ACC teams in, man. As much as I wouldn't like to see it, I think it's a real possibility.
We actually ended up with 10 ACC teams in. We did discuss Syracuse, NC State, and Wake Forest as three.
We'd have to grab two more, but like I think of those three, they're not that far out. So the right circumstances, BC goes 1-17, and say Pitt keeps on their losing track.
Well, Pitt was another team we mentioned. So we discussed 14 different ACC teams. David, you can see I got those extra teams in the 13th to the 16th seeds. If you want to take a quick look at that, but David, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, we always talk about how weak the bubble is and, oh my God, it's terrible this year. It's the same now as it normally is at this point. And I think as we kick it into the final 6-7 weeks of the season, most of the teams that make the tournament are going to have strong finishes and play their way in. I know that there's always teams that back in and don't really finish on a hot streak, but more often than not, teams pick it up and get the big wins down the stretch. If for no other reason, the format of the conference tournaments almost demand it because it matches bubble teams against each other and it allows teams to get the wins. And when you look at what Georgetown's doing and when you look at what Tennessee's doing and when you look at what one or two other teams are doing, those teams aren't quite into the field yet, but they're starting to look like they're good enough to get the wins they need and they're going to have the opportunities. So I don't think this field in March is going to smell any worse or any better than what it normally does.
Well, it's a good point. I do agree with everything. I think we came up with a pretty good field here as well. We are going to get that bracketed up down below. Although I know, Titel, you want us to put Arizona on the one line because they're about to beat Oregon State. which is going to actually hurt their RPI, but maybe severely hurt it. But
I was for Arizona on the one line until they beat Oregon State tonight.
On behalf of John Titel down there, along with Joby Fortson and John Salika, next to me, Matt Sikowski and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. I want to thank everybody for joining us, and we're going to talk to you again real soon. And maybe I can even stop this.